Hey, Soul Sisters. Today in the podcast studio, I have the fabulous Nerida Bint, three times guest on Hey, Soul Sister. Nez, how are you going?
I'm so well, Mel. Thanks so much for having me here again. It's such an honour to be here and I can't believe it's been three times.
I know, I love it. And I love having you on Hey, Soul Sister because you are such a beautiful sharing open book and you have so much wisdom. You've done so many awesome things in your life. And no, but I think it's beautiful when, you know, this is all about living as soulful as we can, living the best life that we can. And I love it when people like you are really happy to come and share that, share your wisdoms and your life learnings and help some of us along the way with that too.
Yeah, whatever I can do to support your audience. Yeah. I hope this conversation is valuable for them.
Yes, thank you. So if you had listened to Nez Nerida Bint before on Hey Soul Sister, you would have heard at the time that she, Nez, was the founder and owner of Australia's largest women-only gym, La Somme, which she founded in 2014.
Yes.
And then we spoke again during the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about how the COVID had impacted La Somme and your business. Mm-hmm. And now, a couple of years later, you're still doing amazing things in the world, but in a very different way. Mm. Tell us a little bit about what's happened.
Yeah, that's such a great question. So, you know, there's a few times in my life I've been faced with real challenges, like really hard times that have felt really, really overwhelming for me. And as I get older, I start to understand that actually is happening for me, not to me. So at the beginning of the pandemic, all my businesses were closed overnight. I went through a breakup with my partner at the time, who I really genuinely thought we would get married, we would have kids together. I had to move out into a one-bedroom apartment on my own in the middle of lockdown. And it was the first sort of really turbulent time where I was really sort of like, what's happening with my life? And so it was through my own pain and really for the first time really looking at myself. Like I remember saying to myself, why is this happening to me? I am the common denominator here in every relationship, you know, that breaks down. Something is happening for me and I need to understand what it is. And it's the first time I took radical responsibility for every single part of my life.
How empowering is that though? Because it's really easy to blame everybody else. It's really easy to point the finger and go, oh, but this wasn't my fault, that wasn't my fault. And it's not about blame or fault, but it's so empowering to actually go, hey, I'm involved in this.
Yeah. Well, you do. You attract every single experience into your life, whether it's positive or negative. And what I have found in the work that I've done since then is we tend to attract the same experience in some shape or form over and over and over until we heal that wound within us. So for me, that was really healing the wound of like this interesting distance that I felt safe to be in a relationship with somebody without too much emotional connection. But yet that was the very thing that was going against my end goal, which was to end up married, you know, with children and, you know, in a beautiful connected partnership. So it was the first time I really, really looked at that. And, you know, I sort of for about 6 months was just in a bit of a hole, reading books, listening to podcasts, started meditating for the first time, started really exercising. And I would share things on Instagram and people would really resonate and connect with me and say, you know, really, you know, sort of reach out. So after about 12 months of that and the gym just being so hard with all of the COVID restrictions, open, close, lockdown, this and that, restrictions, I decided to, you know, move on from the gym and to become a coach because I could see so many people were struggling with the same things I was struggling with.
Hey, and actually, I remember one of the first times that I met you, you were still running La Somme and running the business and coaching within the business. And I remember we met and you were telling me about your community and some of your community members. And I remember even then you were very much like, I'm really here to support them and it's not just about their fitness.
Yes.
It's actually bigger than that.
Yeah. When I had La Somme, it was so interesting, right? I was the least interested in fitness and training gym owner you've ever met. Like I was so not, like my head coach, she would be constantly fascinated by the latest training, like research and information, and I just could not be bothered. The reason why I brought La Somme together was I wanted a place to exist for women to feel like they belonged because I had had my own experience of being excluded by a gym and basically being rejected because I was too overweight. So for me, I started that business with the real, and I grew up in a home where I felt constantly excluded as well. So again, I was sort of attracting these similar patterns. And it wasn't until I had the gym, and I remember my very first site over at Ties Hill, I'd painted the words, these beautiful words around the building, and one of them was belong. And I remember this journalist interviewing me, and she noticed the word belong, and she said to me, she sort of asked me a few questions about my childhood, and she said to me, isn't it interesting that you've created this space where it's all about people needing to belong, and that's what you were yearning for your entire life? And it was such a mic drop moment, because it wasn't until that I realized, wow, I have created this thing, because deep down I thought I was doing it for other people, but really it was for me. I wanted a place to belong. Yeah. And so it was such a special time. I had Lasom for 8 years and I decided to sell in 2022. So it's been nearly 2 years now that I've been out of that business. And I transitioned to coach people. And so again, it's still about helping people, but it's on a more deeper level. It's really helping them to understand their childhood trauma, their pain, their beliefs, their self-worth, and to really, really help them, you know, help move them into the most confident, authentic, you know, secure version of themselves so they can thrive.
And again, because that's what we want.
Mm.
You know, really, at the end of the day, what we all want is to live a happy, joyful life.
Yeah.
And being able to be really self-aware and to heal old wounds, to actually be self-aware of old wounds and traumas, and to be able to heal those and to be confident enough to want and strive for something better is so important. And you know, similar to the women we see at Got Your Back Sister, they've experienced the trauma of domestic violence or abuse growing up, and that's where they're trying to get to. So okay, hats off to you for doing the good work. Yeah,
thank you. Like, we all have a story, and if anyone is listening to this and really feeling like they're in the pit of their life and they're really struggling, like, my advice to them is, when we hit rock bottom, sometimes it's a gift. Sometimes rock bottom is the best place, because it is the fire that you can develop to really say to yourself, I don't want this anymore. I want to change. I want to get out of this and start actually really focusing on how you can make that happen. I'm a real believer, we're not on this planet just to be happy, we're on it to grow.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means through pain.
Yeah. Absolutely. So tell me about the courses and the programs and things that you're doing now, and I guess who are the people that are coming to join that community?
So I do have a 6-week online course for Emotional Intelligence 101 that you can find if you head to my Instagram. It's in my bio, and that's a really great first step for you to start to understand your emotional home, your childhood trauma, and your relationships and your communication style. So that is the first place I send people. Do that course. There's weekly homework that you can do and tasks that you can actually take out into the world, which, you know, at the end of the day, going and talking, like, I think we need to understand the answers are never really found outside of you. The answers are within you. You may need people around you to support you to that. But at the end of the day, if you said to me you want to work on your physical fitness, there's awareness and then there's integration. So awareness is like, okay, we both know in order to lose weight, we need to go to the gym a little more. We need to eat a little cleaner. We need to like have healthy habits, right? That's awareness. Integration is actually waking up at 5 a.m. going to the gym. It's going and cooking your own meals. It's consciously changing those habits. So, you know, I think what we don't understand is going to therapy or going and getting support, that's awareness. So on a mental level, but you have to actually integrate it into your life. And so that means every single day, what are you doing to change your mind, your beliefs, your behaviors, your confidence, your worthiness? Because your external life is a reflection of all of that internally.
So talk to us about emotional intelligence, because I know you do a lot of work in that space and you've just mentioned it then. You also talked about your emotional home, which I've not heard of that before.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this.
Let's go down this whole deep dive.
Yes. So your emotional home are the emotions that you felt most between 0 and 7 years old. So they're usually a blend of the emotions that both of your parents, you know, projected onto you. So ideally, we would love for those emotions to be things such as happiness, joy, peace, contentment, energize. Like, if you were raised in a secure home, a stable home, where there was a lot of love and a lot of safety, you generally will feel those emotions growing up. Now, let's be honest, we now know that, you know, there's a huge percentage of the population that do not have that. Now, I think what I see is I see a lot of people really facing their trauma and really trying to understand it and overcome it. And then I see people maybe not really understand that trauma isn't just abuse, violence, and you know, chaos and unsafety, it's actually sometimes, like, I've got plenty of clients who have suffered, like, a lot of micro trauma through overbearing, over, you know, involved parents that haven't honored boundaries and haven't tried to develop an independent child. So it's really, you know, any time that you're noticing you are shape-shifting, you're abandoning yourself, you're putting other people's needs above your own, you are subconsciously trying to control and avoid an emotion. So for me, my emotional home, so when you look, there's a great wheel, the emotion wheel. That's the first thing I would suggest anyone to look at. In the middle, there are your primary emotions. So there's like joy, love, happiness, and then there's anger, fear, and sadness. So those are the three main heavy emotions, right? Now, off the back of anger, you have emotions such as resentment, frustration, irritation. Then off the back of fear, you have anxiety, insecurity, inadequacy. Off the back of sadness, you have depression, rejection, loneliness. So for me, I experienced a lot of the sadness. So I experienced quite a bit of sadness, loneliness, shame, rejection, and confusion. And so what will happen is when your emotional home will be triggered in lots of different circumstances in your life. So it's not just your relationships, it's not just your work, it's not just friendships, it's not just parenting, it's usually most of them, because deep down you have not worked through and released that emotion from childhood. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
I'll share with you what mine is.
Go.
Anxiety.
Yeah.
So when I think back from ages zero to seven,
mm-hmm.
I just remember feeling really anxious as a child.
Yeah.
And that followed through into my adult years. And it's only been the last couple of years that I've really been able to recognize and do a lot of work on that. But I think about my childhood and I was really anxious.
And isn't it funny that, because have you attracted partners into your life who, you know, amplified that emotion within you?
Well, interestingly, I would say my first husband, yes, but my second husband, actually, no. He is so calm and lovely and has taught me a lot.
Yeah. But you've probably done a lot of work to attract that in.
Oh, yeah. And it's been the last few years where I was like, I don't want to live like this anymore. Mm. I don't want to feel the anxiety anymore because it's crippling at times. Mm-hmm. I've always been able to push through it because there's something within me that it's like, okay, even though I'm feeling like this, I do it anyway and just have to deal and just deal with it. And then afterwards you go, oh, actually, I felt that fear. I felt that anxiety. I went through with whatever it is and I'm fine. And, you know, it helps you overcome other anxieties and fears that you face. But I go, it's interesting. That's been a lifelong thing for me. To the point where when I was a child, I would vomit. Yeah. I would get so anxious.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I really feel that. Yeah, that's great awareness that you had that. And can I ask, did you come from a childhood home where there was a lot of chaos and instability?
No, not really. No, my dad was always very happy-go-lucky, but my mum unfortunately grew up in an abusive household, and so I think she probably brought some stuff through. But they were fine.
So oftentimes there are four ways that when we're not emotionally intelligent, that we avoid dealing with people's heavy emotions. So we dismiss, which is, oh, you shouldn't feel that way, it's not a big deal. We project, so you're always on your phone, you never want to spend time with me, you don't really love me. There's deflect, we make a joke, we crack a joke to lighten the mood because we're uncomfortable. And then there's minimize. Oh, you shouldn't feel that way because there are other people out there with it so much worse. So when we express an emotion in childhood to a parent or to any adult that we actually need to help us process and move through that emotion and actually understand that it's normal to feel emotions. So what we actually are looking for is we're looking for a caretaker to let us know it makes so much sense that you're a bit scared right now because you're out in a public place and you're having to talk to people you don't know. Because when they do that, they validate it. And then you look at that little piece of you and you start to accept it and you're okay with it. So you actually integrate it, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have a resistance to that emotion. But what happens is when a parent actually rejects that emotion with us or dismisses it, shames it, you know, denies it, we do not know how to process it ourselves. And that's why it keeps playing out that loop and it follows us into adulthood. I want you to think
that's
about
that. That's so interesting because for me, when you just said that, what resonated was the deny.
Yes.
Being dismissed and denied. It's like, oh, come on, get over it.
Yeah.
Get over it. Come on, pull yourself together, which is probably why now when I have those moments.
You do that to yourself.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, come on. No,
that's right.
Stop it. Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep moving forward.
Yeah. And so But you think about it, right? If someone else was going through a lot of anxiety, what would you be saying to that person?
So for me, and probably knowing what I know now, I'd probably sit down and actually try and find out why, what's going on, what are the thoughts there,
yeah,
and actually talk that through.
Yeah, and you'd probably be loving and supportive and encouraging,
yeah,
and you'd listen. Mm. And so this is actually the gift we need to give to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because if we were raised by parents who were emotionally immature, you know, it's not to say they didn't love us, and it's not to say they weren't good parents, but we, most of us, were raised by parents who were emotionally immature. We then need to be that parent for ourselves. We then need to learn how to speak to ourselves the way that we needed a parent to.
Yeah, that has so hit home for me right now in more ways than you will ever know, Nez. Seriously, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but I won't go on about me in too much. But I know that has really struck a chord with me, and I'm sure that there will be other people. Because I've never actually thought about that. I've always acknowledged that I have been anxious and, you know, used to vomit as a little kid. But I've never actually stopped and thought about that. I'm going, yeah, that was really dismissed and denied.
Yeah. And do you know what? The reason why this is so important is that whenever someone close to you, if you treat your own emotions that way, when someone close to you expresses an emotion like anxiety, then you will struggle to be able to validate and support them because it will trigger that feeling within you. So think about this, right? Mine used to be sadness. So I used to be that girl when I was with my girlfriends. If someone started, you know, to, if we were talking and someone was sharing something that was going on in their life and they started to, you know, express some sadness and started to get emotional and cry, I would be the first one, because I was so uncomfortable with sadness within myself, I would be the first one to try and stop them from crying. So I would be like, oh, it's okay, don't cry, it's all right, let's talk about something else, let's move on. Like, oh, it's, you know, because I was so uncomfortable with sadness myself. So the more that we can actually validate these emotions within us and process them and see them as little parts of us that need to be seen and loved and cared for, the more we can do that for our children, our partners, our friends. Because the closest people to you are the ones that you struggle to hold space for. People, friends and stuff like that might be easier, but say, for instance, a partner or a child, when they express that same emotion, we may find ourselves being triggered because it's bringing that emotion closer to us. And so therefore, because we're uncomfortable with it, we want to suppress it in them.
Oh my God, Nez.
And I just want to validate that that's so normal.
Because when you said that, I was thinking about our four children. I'm like, oh my God, the conversations that I've had. Because do you know what? Because, you know, those things were denied in me.
Like, of course.
That I go, yeah, there's moments I would have done
of course.
That to our kids.
And we all have done this. This is human. This is not meant to shame anyone. And it's definitely not meant to make anyone feel bad about, you know, the kind of partner they are or parent they are or friend. It's just to bring awareness to, wow, okay, I see that I do definitely do that. Okay, I definitely don't want to make people feel bad about how they feel. So when I, because everything is a mirror of you internally, right?
Yep.
So the more I've learned how to hold space for my big emotions, the more I can sit here. And it's so interesting, right? I can feel I can feel the emotion swirling in you. And it's so interesting. If I did not know, like, I would be totally fine if you sat here and you were in tears.
Yeah.
Because I see that as a beautiful process and a release.
I'm a non-crier.
Yeah, of course, because you would have been denied in childhood, so you've learnt to suppress, suppress, suppress.
Yeah.
So I can see it now, right? Even I can see you on the verge of tears, but you're trying to push that back down. But actually what tears are actually a natural way for your body to regulate, so it brings it back into a parasympathetic state. So it's actually a natural thing. It's your body trying to regulate itself. And what happens is when you suppress it, it doesn't just stop. It goes into stored trauma in your body. And what it does is it manifests in so many different ways. You know, it's crazy. The body really, it's so connected.
Oh my God, this is crazy. Seriously, it's so funny. Even my friends joke and they go, like, I'm the non-crier.
Yeah. What do you make it mean when you do, when somebody sees you in that state?
Crying or not crying? Not crying. Do you know what? I'm like, pull it together.
So what do you make that mean? What would it be like if you were to sit here and actually have some tears right now?
If I had some tears right now, I'd probably be embarrassed.
Right. There's shame.
Yeah.
Embarrassment comes from shame.
Yeah.
So there's still shame within you.
Yeah. And it would be like, that's weakness.
Yes. There we go. Oh, there's the story there.
Well, there's... Do you know what? I love this because yes. I go, we're always learning. I've just like learned so much in the last 10 minutes.
Good. I'm glad. Jeez.
And I've got a lot to process, which so my wedding anniversary today. Yeah. So after we record, we're heading up the coast to have a few soulful, beautiful, quiet days together. And I've got a lot to process about. Wow. This is great. Yeah. Okay. Talk to us about relationships and how this impacts relationships, because I know that's something else that you've done a lot of work with your community around. You created, is it the Fem Network?
The Fem Network,
that
yes.
you created.
Yes.
Talk to us about that, how this impacts your relationships.
Yes. Yeah, so, oh my gosh, so much so. Wow, where do I start? Okay, so naturally as human beings, we're craving a couple of things. We're craving connection. We're craving being accepted. We're craving being known. We're craving intimacy. Now, the way... What's really interesting is most of us want intimacy, but also deeply fear it. Because what intimacy is, right? Into me, you see. So you right now having that vulnerability around when I cry, I actually feel embarrassed. You know, sharing that with somebody, that's intimacy, right? You sharing with someone like, hey, I'm noticing, like, you know, or say, for instance, sharing, like if you were to go somewhere and speak and you were feeling quite nervous and anxious. Intimacy, like a vulnerability and an authenticity, would be I can share this with people and I know I'm still loved and accepted. I know that that doesn't impact my worthiness to be here as a speaker. But what we do is we suppress it because we think it ties into our worthiness. So then what that does is that creates the very thing we don't want. It keeps a distance between you and me. And even though it's not spoken, like you can feel this, right? Like when, and I've done so much of this work. I could literally talk to someone for 2 minutes and I can immediately get a feel for like how comfortable with themselves they are.
Yeah.
And that tells me how comfortable with me they are.
Yeah.
And so in order to be comfortable with another person deeply, we need to be comfortable with ourselves.
Yeah.
So all of these things, right? If you know, if you, and I'll tell you this is so simple. I want you to think about a yin yang symbol, right?
Yeah.
So let's just talk about traditional masculine feminine relationships. Say you've got the black side of the yin yang and he's the masculine. And inside of that side of the circle, there's a little white dot. Then in the opposite, you've got the white, who is the feminine, and she has a little black dot. Now, the main body of those symbols is who you are. And the tiny little dot is your pain. And that's usually childhood pain. So what happens, I would say most of the time, we go into a relationship looking for someone to relieve us of that pain. We go into a relationship looking for someone to take that away. And it works for the first 12 to 18 months. And then all of a sudden, everywhere you go, there you are. That pain starts to come up again because you haven't dealt with it. And so then what happens is the protest behavior in the relationship happens, the struggle, the power struggle back and forth. And really... You know, and this happens all the time. There's a great quote, break up with the pattern, not the person. So you would see this a lot, right? I'm guessing a lot of your clients, they tend to, if they're in abusive relationships, they go from one sort of abusive, violent person to the next over and over and over until they break that pattern, until they develop that worthiness within and they can see those sort of signals right back at the beginning of the relationship. So for me, and you always, I'm yet to be proven wrong on this, you tend to always attract a partner that reminds you energetically of the parent you craved love from the most.
Yeah, wow.
So it doesn't mean, so I'm, you know, I'm attracted to men, okay? And I do happen to have a deeper wound with my father. So I do tend to attract men who emulate him. He's a very distant, emotionally distant person. Now, if I had the wound with my mother, it doesn't mean that I'm attracted to women. It means I can still be attracted to a man, but energetically, his persona, the way he acts and the way he behaves, his characteristics are more similar to her, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So... Let's go back. So the funny thing is we go into relationship because we think the other person will heal us, but actually what happens is they trigger us the most. And that's why so many relationships don't work.
I'm laughing not because it's funny. I'm laughing because I'm like, it's like, oh, wow, that's a real, yeah.
It's so true, right? And I would say that most people, when they get into relationships and they are, and to be in a relationship with anybody is not easy, right? You're always two people living together, being together. There are always going to be disagreements. And if there aren't, I wouldn't say the health of a relationship lies in the amount of conflict you have or the time you've been together. Because I've seen lots of unhealthy relationships where someone just suppresses because in order to be accepted and they're living a completely inauthentic life. And then what happens is they get diagnosed with cancer and, you know, because their body is manifesting this complete disconnect within them. So
what I will say is, you know, most people, when they're triggered or upset or hurt or angry, frustrated, whatever the emotion is, I would argue that 80% of our population do not know how to bring that to their partner in a healthy way. And so what happens is, because your communication is unhealthy, you think about it, right? You start that conversation, then they're just bouncing back to you. Most people do one of four things, which is the Four Horsemen by the Gottmans. There's contempt, there's defensiveness, criticism, and stonewalling. Now, most women I work with tend to play with the criticism and the defensiveness. So you think about it, right? If you're wanting, and that's the projection, right? Say, for instance, let's just go for a really simple thing. I'm at home with my partner. He's on his phone a lot. I've had a bad day. I really want love and connection, but I'm noticing how much he's on his phone. So I go into a story in my head that he's on his phone. Who is he talking to? He's always on his phone. He doesn't really love me. Da, 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 da. I follow that thread. And instead of me, now this is intimacy, this is vulnerability, this is conscious communication. Instead of me noticing that and sitting back and thinking, wow, isn't this interesting that I'm having all these thoughts? Wow, well, I've been with this, and I will say this was my experience. I've been with this man for 3 years who has moved heaven and earth to make me happy. He's done so much for me. Why am I naturally automatically assuming right now he doesn't love me? And then coming to him and saying, babe, I'm noticing I'm having all these thoughts. I'm noticing I'm feeling really distant from you, and I can see that you're on your phone, and I would love to connect with you when you're ready. That is true intimacy. That is true vulnerability, and most people don't have that. So what I did was pointed the finger. You're on your phone. You're always on your phone. You don't really love me. Why aren't we engaged yet? Da, 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 da. Off we go. And then what do you think he's going to do in response?
Get defensive.
Because he doesn't have the ability to see that. So this is where it's two people, right? He doesn't have the ability to see that and kind of go, wow, she's really upset right now. What's going on for her? Hey, darling, that's actually not true. You know I do love you, but I can hear you're really scared right now. Why don't you tell me what's really going on? And then off we go back and forth. It's just a tennis match. And it's a complete, you know, we're having a conversation about something that's not even about the real thing. So it's so important. These skills are so important because everyone wants a conscious, amazing relationship, but yet not many people are actually prepared to do the work to be able to learn how to communicate in that way. And for me, such a long time, I wanted that conscious, amazing relationship, but I kept thinking it was in another person. But yet every time I would be in a relationship, I'd notice myself communicating in a way that was terrible. So it was like, what do you expect? You're going to attract what you are. And I'll tell you this, right? You know, a lot of women are with men who don't open up, won't be honest with them. And I ask them, and they're really frustrated. They're like, I wish he would just open up to me more. I wish he would share more of how he feels with me. And I say to them, have you ever once considered if you're a safe person for him to talk to?
Yeah.
Because emotional safety means I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to change you. I'm not going to suppress. I'm not going to try and tell you what to do. I'm just going to sit here and listen and validate exactly why, like exactly how you're feeling when you're feeling it. And not many of us know how to do that.
Wow. Nezzy, give us your top tips for enjoying a soulful, loving, positive relationship with your partner. Top few tips.
Yeah. First one is do the work on yourself. Be the person that, like, every single conversation, thought, feeling that you have, examine it and start to pull at that thread. Because whatever your beliefs are, you will project out into the world and you'll attract the experiences to mirror that. So I would say the first thing is get underneath it all. Get a coach, you know, or go online and do a course or listen to some podcasts.
Do you know what? I listen to YouTube videos.
Yeah, YouTube's amazing.
Yeah, when I wake up in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 in the morning, I literally pop on YouTube and then I must listen to the similar sort of things, so they pop up in my feed all the time. Great. Pop my earbuds in and just listen to...
YouTube is so good. Like, there's so much free stuff out there that you can listen to. It's amazing. Yeah. There are so many books that can help you understand this. So, you know, commit to becoming emotionally intelligent. They're now saying emotional intelligence is the skill, the number one skill that is the indicator of your relationship, your career, your family, all of that success. Because what it is, it's actually just a relationship with yourself. And then the more that you understand yourself, the more you can change your behavior or your actions to then bring, you know, show up in a way that you like. So, you know what I mean? So it's so important. So become emotionally intelligent, get people around you who are. And I would also say, you know, so much of it is in the body. So move your body as much as you can to move out these emotions. Don't suppress anything that your body wants to feel. There are three. Okay, so when we talk about fear, sadness, and anger, the way to release fear is through the breath. Okay, yep. So breath work, deep breathing, box breathing, whatever it works for you. The way to release sadness is tears. Let the tears flow. Let them come from your body. Let them pour. And the way to release anger is any sort of primal movement, such as screaming, punching, jumping up and down, shaking, getting underwater and screaming, jumping around, shaking, like anything at all to move that anger through your body. Now, yep. Emotions are not bad. Behavior is what's potentially bad. So if you and I were together and I noticed myself getting quite angry, punching you would not be okay. But yeah. Going away and punching a pillow to release that, totally fine.
Yeah.
So I would say those three things have helped me so much. And I've really learned anything that comes up, do not suppress. Because emotions are like a beach ball in the water. You hold them under for such a long time, but eventually they pop back up. And the longer you've been holding it under, the bigger that explosion is at the end. So, yeah. And do this for your kids and your friends and your partner, all of it.
Nez, I love that. Such good advice. Now, where can people find you? Because I think, Soul Sisters, if any of this has resonated with you, or that you might be aware that your relationship isn't feeling right, or you might be having struggles or power plays, and that you would like a better, more soulful relationship and life. Nizzy, where can people find you?
Yeah, at the moment, the best place to reach out to me is Instagram. I have my 6-week emotional intelligence course that is, you know, $199, and it's an amazing first step for anyone doing this work, and that's in my bio. Send me a DM. I've got a podcast, the Narrative Int podcast. There's heaps of information on that as well. And yeah, if this resonates for anyone, please reach out to me. I always write back to all of the DMs that I get. And thank you for having me on the show and for all the work that you do in your community to lift people's emotional intelligence, help them live better lives. And yeah, I really see how hard you work. And
thanks, Nez. Thanks. Yeah. But this has been amazing. There's so much good stuff here. I can't wait for it to get out into the world. Yay.
Thanks for having me.